RadioInfluence.com. This is the Valor Hour, powered by the law offices of Ogle, Elrod, and Beryl on Radio Influence. Your weekly glimpse inside all things Valor Fights, and a look at what's going on in the rest of the MMA community. Here are your hosts, the president of Valor Fights, Tim Loy, and your color commentator, Casey Oxendine.
Welcome to another episode of the Valor Hour, a look into everything Valor Fights, as well as the headlines from combat sports across the world. Thanks for joining us, and remember to subscribe on Apple Podcasts and Stitcher. This week we speak with a great lineup of guests, including Jared Williams, Jason Fagler, Ben Sargent, and Stone Beverly, plus a big week in national news that hits close to home. And as always, Valor Fights President Tim Loy will address your questions during the Valor Hour Q&A segment. I'm Casey Oxendine, joined by the president of Valor Fights, Tim Loy. Tim, not a minute to catch our breath this week. All sorts of announcements as we head into the fall.
Yeah, man, we're kind of right in the middle of this summer slate here, coming towards the end of it. And one of our few, not really an off week, we're in action this weekend with the Conflict Crew. But, after that, we've got 2 weekends in a row.
Yeah, exactly. And it's, sometimes it's much needed to regroup. Let's get right on into the news. Recap of UFC 214 from last Saturday. Man, it really caused a stir in a lot of different areas. Of course, the biggest part was John Jones, the new light heavyweight champion, with that round 3 KO over former champion Daniel Cormier. That was a big one, Tim.
Oh, yeah, that was a crazy one. I was watching that one live, and Cormier was doing great. I mean, he was right there with him through those first couple rounds. Was starting to kind of figure things out, it looked like. And then, third round, got Jones measured him up for that kick, and that put him on wobbly legs. He was kind of, out on his feet at that point. And then it was kind of elementary from that point. Jones was able to really just measure him up and take him out.
I totally agree with you. And as far as Jones, I saw him as a little rusty, kind of the way a lot of people stated when he fought over in St. Preux, that he just was kind of on wobbly legs. And it could have, I saw it as, if it got into the later rounds, that it could have been deep waters for John Jones. Daniel Cormier, he was so headstrong in the fight moving forward, which is, appeared to be a good thing. But one of the reasons that people are careful about being too headstrong with Jones is for the reason that we saw on Saturday night. He's very, very dangerous. He has a lot of power, and man, he finishes Cormier for the first time in his career. The co-main event, it is also causing a stir. Tyron Woodley takes out Damian Maia by unanimous decision, and he took a lot of heat there. A lot of people saying, particularly Dana White, that it wasn't very exciting, that the statistics were way down, and essentially he takes Tyron Woodley's shot with GSP away and moves GSP up to Bisping. What do you think about that?
I can't disagree that it wasn't exciting. I felt like that whole card had been really good. Up until that point, everybody really seemed to be going for it and really kind of rising to the occasion with it being a big event like that. And it seemed to just kind of carry over from fight to fight to fight. There were just guys were really going for it. We're getting a lot of great finishes and or wars, that ended up going to decision. But that I won't disagree. It really kind of it sucked the energy out of our room. It was like 40 minutes long, total between, rounds and breaks and all that. And we were able to get it back up for the main event there, but, I won't disagree that it was boring. At the same time, Woodley fought a smart fight, to make sure that he won and held on to that title, So I see both sides of it. It's really kind of hard to fault Woodley for fighting the way he needs to fight to get the win, and it's kind of hard to fault the UFC for doing what they need to do to make sure that they get the fights that the fans want to see.
Sure, and of course, with Woodley being the champion, there's not a whole lot that you can say or do. But that being said, it's I think that Woodley had to do what he had to do, and of course, his argument was that GSP was had his detractors when he was the champion. A lot of people saying that he wasn't super, super exciting. Of course, Floyd Mayweather has the same kind of comments come towards him. He's not very exciting. Oftentimes when you're so much better than the competition and you have the option to play it safe, you're going to do it. And when you do it, I don't think the fans like it. They want to see it, you know, a kill or be killed kind of fight. But it is what it is. And, you know, it's interesting to see what comes next. Now, of course, Cyborg with the round three TKO over Tonya Evinger. That was a war. And Robbie Lawler with that unanimous decision victory over Donald Cerrone. Super, super close. Talk about both of those matchups.
You know, Cyborg looked great. A lot of people were knocking on Evinger, you know, but man, I mean, no one else is trying to even get in there with her at this point. And, you know, Evinger was outmatched for sure. And that's a fighter that can make, you know, I feel like she makes 135 most of the time, right? She's not really a 145er. She just kind of stepped up there. But yeah, I don't know who's gonna give Cyborg any kind of run. You know, she looked good. Yeah, Lawler and Cerrone, you know, I bet on Lawler, so I was happy that they gave it to him. But I thought that Cowboy won. Everybody in my house thought that Cowboy won. But you know, we'll take it. It was you know, when you look at it kind of round by round, I guess you can see it maybe. But you know, in the overall scheme of things, it seemed like Cowboy did more.
Yeah. Anything else that stood out, you know, from that whole entire night of fights?
Well, the Volkan Ozdemir with a pretty good upset over Jimmy Manawa. You know, Manawa was who they're really wanting to groom as the next challenger for whoever came out of the main event. In fact, you know, from what I gathered, he was there in case something went, you know, shit went sour in the main event and he needed to step in to be in it, you know. So he certainly derailed those plans quickly with a 41-second knockout, you know. And beyond that, really, you know, Aljamain Sterling with a pretty good win over Hanan Barao, who looks like he may be, you know, that shit may have sailed now.
Yeah, what's left for Hanan Barao? You know, I mean, he's been the champion already. He's done what he's done. You know, it's hard to stay inspired when you've already had been to the top of the heap and you've fallen. Moving on, it is big news for the region as Bellator announces the Monster Energy Series Bristol Motor Speedway card. Of course, that goes down August 19th in Bristol, Tennessee. Tim, this is a big, big deal.
Man, we're really excited. You know, it's the first time that Bellator has done anything over this way. And, you know, while it's not your typical Bellator card, it is certainly exciting because it's in conjunction with the NASCAR event, which is going to have such a massive number of people there, you know, more than what would be at a regular event. And on top of that, you know, it's just loaded with guys that have come up through Valor. And so we're excited to be able to help give them this opportunity, you know, to shine there on a big stage in front of the Bellator matchmakers. They'll be sitting right there with us, you know, and they've said, you know, especially the main event, guys have got a great chance, you know, if you look good there, there's a good chance they're going to get a multi-fight deal.
Yeah, we'll talk about that main event. We're going to be speaking, you know, Ben Sargent taking on Brandon Bell, two guys we know extremely well. And we'll be actually speaking with Ben later tonight. That is a great matchup, and really it's one that's hard to call because you can think about all the attributes of Ben and then think of the attributes of Brandon, and you're like, wow, it really depends on how things unfold.
Yeah, man, that's it, you know, it's a fight that has been talked about for a long time. Two guys that are veterans of the Kentucky circuit, and we've started working more and more with Jimbo and guys out of the Kentucky region to kind of, you know, meld them into our region. And so they're both guys that are known in our area. They're both highly skilled. Ben's undefeated. He's 7-0 as a pro. He's on the radar of some big time shows, and a win over Bell to get to 8-0 would be a really nice feather in his cap. Bell, on the other hand, his record is not pristine. It's not bad either, though. I mean, I think his real record is like 16-6, but like sanctioned fights, I want to say he's like 9-6 or something along those lines. But he's won 3 in a row. He's training with good guys. He's really picked up his game here in the past year or two. And you know how this sport is very much, you know, what have you done for me lately?
Yeah, and that's a lot of fights. And even those losses, they attest to a lot of growth. And I honestly think that this will be the best Brandon Bell that we've ever seen and the best Ben Sargent. So I'm very excited for that. Now in our co-main event, we see Nick Gertz and Ken Beverly, another fight that really has fireworks written all over it. Gertz, he is, you know, absolutely an artist when it comes to mixed martial arts. He can be unorthodox at times, but he has knockout power. He has very, very crafty submissions. But then on the other side, you've got Ken Beverly, who's a youngster, essentially, and a man that a lot of people sold short in his outing against Stephen Haig. He was able to prove the critics wrong with just that surreal pressure that he puts on. I think this is going to be a great co-main event.
Yeah, man, this is one of those that it can't suck, you know, and really all of them are like that. And when, you know, Rich contacted me, you know, about putting this thing together, that was pretty much the only prerequisite. You know, this is not a ticketed event. It's free. So side note, there's absolutely no excuse to miss this. It's four really awesome fights for free. And, you know, if you're a fan of this region and you don't make it out there to this, you know, free event, then you're hating, you know, so I've got to say that's a side note. But, you know, that said, this fight's all action as they asked for. It's hard to imagine two guys, you know, on the roster that will be such high energy, such, you know, both guys going for finishes, and very active, both standing and on the ground. They're both, I think the scrambles could be just awesome, and both really good dudes. You know, yeah. I like Nick Gertz. I like Ken Beverly.
Something that really stands out to me is that I don't think it's going to be a super quick fight. It can be, of course, you know, because both men have power and finishing ability. But this is the thing. Both guys, you know, where you've seen them finish quickly have been in their ground prowess. You know, both are very, very crafty on the ground in different ways, as particularly in the leg lock area. Nick Gertz is very, very good at pulling off those leg locks. That being said, Ken Beverly trains a lot of leg locks, which kind of negates that kind of catch-22. So I see this fight really playing out and seeing a lot of high impact in that. So very excited for it. Now moving on, Damir Fahadbegovic taking on JSP Jonathan Pierce. Now I think that is contrasting from our co-main event in that I think these guys are just going to hit head-to-head like a couple of bulls.
Yeah, man. This one is going to be violent. This is my pick for most likely to bleed. Somebody's going to bleed. Maybe both guys. You know, it's really going to be it's going to be intense. And I think that, you know, this is a fight that, man, it's really hard to call. You know, they're both killers. They're two of the most highly touted prospects to ever come out of our region, from great gyms. They're going to have all-star corners and again, I like both guys, but this is a very big contrast in personalities from the last fight because neither one of these guys are very nice guys.
Right. And both guys have actually trained out at the lab as well, spent plenty of time at the lab. So that's kind of interesting to think. You know, they've seen that you know, the big super gym kind of feel. They've been under that pressure. They know what they're both in for. So I think it's going to be good. And, you know, it's almost surprising this is the first time we've seen these two guys on one of those bigger stages like that. And then we have one amateur bout. And, of course, I'm very excited about this, particularly because of Preston Schick. He's one of my guys being in, you know, one half of that fight. Of course, he is the Valor Fights amateur featherweight champion. And he's taking on Ava Mai, who I don't think that there is a better candidate to face. Preston's not been beaten before, and that's one thing that he came to the board, and he's always said this since day one, that he wants the toughest fight, and Ava is that, and I think it's going to really deliver for the fans. Of course, I'm biased. I have to be biased, but at the same time, if I was a fan on the outside looking in, I would be so very excited.
Man, I'm really excited too. And this is going to be, you know, this is our opening fight. You know, how ridiculous is that? This could headline a card, you know, and it's going to be a really, really good one. These are two young guns, two really, how old's Preston now? Is he, what, 20?
He just turned 20.
And Ava's probably, he's probably 19 by now, you know.
Yeah, and they're both, what, you know, like you know, kid prodigies. You know, Preston was with me since he was 13, 14 years old. He did Naga events since he was 14 and competed there. You know, and of course, with Valor, he did all of the amateur kickboxing all the way from 16 to 17. And then when he turned 18, he started his mixed martial arts career. So the same kind of goes for Avamayi as well. He's kind of been groomed by the Valor Fights organization. I think those two are two of the biggest products, you know, of a long-term relationship with Valor Fights, and I think it shows, and I think it's a great payoff for both of them.
Yeah, man, there's no doubt. Both guys have been with the organization for the majority of their fights, and have kind of came up through the ranks and been in some big fights for us already. Both, as you said, want to fight those tough fights, and you know, this is a little mini pro level fight, really. You know, I've seen a lot of worse pro fights than this one, so this is going to be good. Both guys are headstrong coming into this thing. Both guys are looking to use the platform to really kind of get themselves ready for that pro step, which isn't going to be too much longer for either guy, I'd say. And what better way to kind of, you know, neither guy I don't think is going to be like super nervous or have that much of jitters, but you know, what an advantage to kind of get this experience under your belt as an amateur before you turn pro. You know, when you get to that point, it's all going to seem elementary.
Undoubtedly. It is the Bellator Monster Energy Series at Bristol Motor Speedway. That's August 19th. Don't worry about getting your tickets, but you better reserve your room right now because this is race week. So, you know, all of the hotel rooms are booked up for a couple years. So you're going to have to search out really, you know, really deep. Maybe get with Vrbo or with what's that other one that everybody uses now?
Airbnb.
There it is. Yeah, get with Airbnb and see what you can find. Now, moving on, let's do a little preview for UFC Fight Night 114. That's this Saturday night on Fox Sports 1. It starts at 10 p.m., headlined by Sergio Pettis and Brandon Moreno. Talk about this card and about this matchup.
You know, It's an interesting card. It's one of those free Fox cards, and you and I will be calling the action on Flow Combat while it's happening, but I'm sure we'll be checking out some replays after we get out of there and get some dinner and whatnot. You know, I think they've obviously kind of catered to your Latino, Hispanic demographic of fighters on this card, and those generally make some really entertaining fights. You know, Pettis and Moreno is going to be great. On paper, I would say Pettis is the favorite, but Moreno has really been coming up and knocking off guys that he's not supposed to beat, and so he's on the hot streak right now, and it's going to be a great all-action fight, I'm sure. Alexa Grasso's on the card. Alan Jobon and Nico Price is going to be really good. That Nico Price comes in and kind of just throws, and Jobon also a solid striker. That would be good as well. And then Sam Alvey and Rashad Evans, that's kind of an interesting fight. You know, it's kind of two guys in their twilight potentially, but could be an entertaining one.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, I also see Dustin Ortiz, a man that we know very, very well, and Jordan Rinaldi, a guy that we've seen a lot here in the Southeast as well. Really good to have some representation here in our region.
Yeah, man. Those guys are, you know, Dustin Ortiz, Jordan Rinaldi are two guys that, you know, came up in the Southeast here. And it's definitely cool to see those guys getting their chance on the big stage. And Ortiz looking to avenge his loss to the headliner, Brandon Moreno. And so I'm sure he'll be coming in guns blazing. And I think, you know, Rinaldi is most likely a pretty good favorite in his fight, too. I think he's much too well-rounded.
Well, again, that's a great lineup of fights that goes down this Saturday night, UFC Fight Night 114 on Fox Sports 1. But moving on, this is, you mentioned it before, this is where we will be. And that is, of course, the Bell Auditorium in downtown Augusta, Georgia for Conflict MMA number 45. And it's a great lineup. Of course, Jason Fagler taking on James Dunn. Josh Millwood versus Anthony Babcock in the co-main event. And the feature bout, Kaven Sunkins versus a man we know very well, Josh Cumbie. And the list goes on and on. Very, very excited about this. Of course, we're going to speak with Jared Williams shortly, and we're going to really run down this card in detail. But, man, just a quick your quick thoughts on this thing.
I'm excited as always, man. You know, we're strapping our announcer suits on for this weekend, and gonna call a great show. Last time we were with Conflict before the Worlds Collide event in Colombia, it was a great card. It was a great time. There were some really competitive fights, and it's always cool to be exposed to some talent that you're not necessarily used to seeing in your area. We'll be, you know, 5 hours from home. You and I, so I'm excited to see some talent that we haven't gotten to see before. I see there's a lot of kickboxing action on this one as well. So for the people that like striking, you know, get there early and see some of those Muay Thai fights, because word is Jason Failure's brother Joel is something to behold. He's supposed to be really good, and a couple locals from our area is going to be, you know, Dustin Koppel's team's got a couple teenagers going down there to kickbox. Ben McCoy and Logan Scott from our neck of the woods will be down there competing, of course, and we know Josh Cumbie from Valor. He's fought for us now two or three times and always puts on exciting fights. Not familiar with Sunkins, but I've heard good things, so I think that's going to be, you know, the amateur fight that I'm most excited for. But you know, then of course the main event, I think that's going to be really good too. Fagler's a guy that I haven't gotten to see in person, but have followed him throughout his career. Dunn, a guy that we just saw on the Worlds Collide event. He is put together, very talented. So I know that's going to be a great main event. And then Josh Millwood's another guy I haven't had a chance to see live, but talked to his management all the time. And, you know, we booked him to do the Strike Fest event where he went up there and got an upset win on the Strike Fest event. So I'm excited to see him fight in person for the first time.
Yeah, undoubtedly. And I actually did watch him fight in person there, and it was a great fight. This time we'll see him in mixed martial arts action, though. And again, a great lineup of fights from top to bottom. And I can't wait to get there in town. I hope we get there a little early. We can search out a local spot. We can get something good to eat and get something good to drink, and then, you know, roll right on into the event. Now, before we move on, we've got a big lineup of guests. But before we get to that, it's time for the Valor Hour Q&A session. Of course, it's where we, you, the listener, ask your questions to the Valor Fights president, Tim Loy. Tim, are you ready for this?
Always.
All right. Well, question number one, how did you get this opportunity to match the Bellator event? We're talking about the Bristol Motor Speedway Monster Energy Series.
You know, Rich Chow, he reached out to me and wanted to speak about it. And honestly, it was kind of we were originally considering running this date for another Border Wars event. And so there was the chance that we were going to cross dates. And so, you know, we didn't want to be on top of each other there. And, you know, Rich reached out, and we were able to work it out to bring me on to do the matchmaking here locally, and you know, use some of our staff here for to help out with the event. So you know, the opportunity to do that with Bellator and to give some opportunities to our guys that deserve it was easily trumped doing my own event that night. And so you know, we were happy to do it.
Yeah, that's huge news. Now, how much demand was there from fighters to get on this Bellator card?
Man, there was a lot. It was honestly the hardest part when you're kind of limited to how many fights that you can make, and just four fights. The hard thing wasn't making entertaining fights. You know, that was easy. Honestly, the hard part was figuring out who you weren't going to be able to give opportunities to. You know,
right. Absolutely. Okay, well, of that lineup, there's just four, but it's a big four. We already discussed it. Which fight are you personally most excited for?
Oh, man. I hate to only choose one, but I got to say that I think that the violence that Demir and JSP is going to bring is going to be the most kind of intense fight of the night, and so I'm going to go with that one. Although honestly, all of them, I'm really excited for all of them. I'm not, you know, if you see me at an event, you can, in between fights, I'll be up and running around and you know, doing whatever, but I won't miss any of these.
Yeah, I mean, that's like a couple, that's like Michael Myers and Jason Voorhees going head to head. You know what I mean? Like, they're completely, you look in their eyes and it's just, it's like they're there to take your soul, and it's both of them. So they're going to collide head to head. Now, Nick Gertz, he's more like Freddy Krueger. He likes to cut up and go on. Right. let's move on to the next question. Which fighter do you think has the best chance of locking down a Bellator contract after August 19th?
You know, I think going in on paper, Ben Sargent has the best chance. And I'm not saying that he's some major favorite to beat Brandon Bell. I'm saying that because he's 7-0 already, he's in the main event, and just the polarizing figure that he is. If he goes out there and has a good performance and gets the win, he needs a finish, I think, unless it's just an absolute bloody war, which I wouldn't put that, you know, out of the realm of possibility. But I think if Ben goes out there and gets an impressive finish, he has the best chance of getting a long-term deal.
Gotcha. Well, last one. If you were, say, a 5-0 hot prospect in 2017, does Bellator have the same appeal as the UFC, in your opinion?
You know, nowadays, I think it does. You know, obviously, the UFC is still kind of seen as the top dog and where people want to be, but you're seeing more and more elite, world-class guys come to Bellator because, you know, they're able to make really good money, and they're giving these opportunities, you know, to these guys a little bit earlier than you necessarily would see in the UFC. So that said, I mean, you're seeing guys on the Contender Series going there with just, you know, 4-1 and things like that. But that's still not belittling the money they're making, but it's still just barely over good regional money. So I would say if Bellator certainly has shown they're here to be a player. They're not a fly-by-night organization like so many kind of come and go, or change, you know, their name and go under a different alias. But I would say, yeah, man. I'd say it holds very close to the same appeal. I think that it's certainly something to consider.
Well, Bellator is certainly cultivating their brand and doing so many different ventures, particularly this Monster Energy series. It's going to be such a crazy venue, and the way it's set up and everything like that. It is outdoors, so bring your sunscreen and possibly an umbrella. But other than that, man, I think it's going to be really, really cool and a lot of fun. And I like those kind of unorthodox venues, if you will. It kind of gives a different flavor to things, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And we've got a few stars in the house as well for the meet and greet. Dan Henderson is going to be in the house. A lot of people are talking about that. And who was the second one?
Phil Davis.
Okay.
Yeah, man, Phil Davis. So two very, very well-known guys, UFC veterans, now Bellator fighters that are going to be on hand. And I believe they'll be on hand Friday as well. We'll talk more and more about this as we get closer to it, because I think what would be cool, Casey, is the week of the show, let's have like a round table discussion on these four fights, and we'll put some official picks in. We'll get Mark and Alan and Hobbs. We'll get the whole fucking gang and do like a round table. You know, with only four fights, we pull that off.
Yeah, for sure. Well, that does it for another Valor Hour Q&A session. Remember to send in your questions, and the Valor Fights president, Tim Loy, will answer those for you. And without further ado, let's move on. We have a great lineup of interviews, starting with Jared Williams. We are joined by Jared Williams, matchmaker for Conflict MMA, and the next big card goes down August 5th as Conflict 45 arrives at the Bell Auditorium in Augusta, Georgia. Jared, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Welcome back for all of us, right?
Yeah, no doubt, man. We're excited to catch up with you after we just worked together a couple weeks ago on the World's Collide event. That was a really good time down in Rome. Great working with you all on that one. We had a great card, and excited to see what we can do together in the future. But let's talk about this weekend. Casey and I will be in town to call the action for Flow Combat. Talk a little bit about the lead up to the event. You know, any hurdles, any challenges? Has it been pretty smooth sailing? Just talk about the build up to this big return to Augusta.
Yeah, it's pretty much an event of hurdles and challenges with us doing a show 2 weeks apart from each other, which we've done a week apart from each other before, and we've been discussing for the last couple of years of doing two on the same night in two different cities and states between Andrew and I, which is a cool novelty idea. And a lot, there's a lot of logistics that can be done, but the one thing we just like, even at the highest level in the UFC, you cannot control is the fighters falling out and things just not working in your favor in that regard. And so we lost our main event, and then we have worked our butt off, and we got the main event back, and we started every time we piece something together, another little thing falls out. But that's the nature of the sport and this game. And if you're, you know, if you stick to it and you're good with it, and you can come out on the other side of it, I guess, smelling like a rose most of the time. And we really worked hard on this fight card to get it out there. And there's some exciting fights, a lot of new faces to conflict due to injuries and things like that. So I like that too. The opportunity to work with, you know, more men and women who the fans haven't seen so far, and that we, you know, will get the chance to work with in the future as well after this event.
Well, speaking of the main event, now that, if I'm not mistaken, that's Jason Fagler versus James Dunn, correct?
That is correct.
So talk about that matchup a little bit. Like you said, you it kind of fell apart and you got it back there and it's in place. I know Jason Fagler is a huge fan favorite.
He is. He's a local guy out of Augusta, Georgia. He's fought for us several times in Augusta and, you know, experienced amateur guy. And, you know, again, you know, he's kind of the staple of that community. You know, one of the key ingredients for MMA and karate in Augusta. And he was scheduled to fight another guy who has fought for us before. And it didn't work out right there as we were just about to start pumping out all the promotions. We had everything ready to go. The fight falls out. And then, you know, of course, you're looking for the right fight. You want something that is that's complementary to a normal conflict fight card. You don't want to just put anything out there. You want something with some substance and something that that we can get excited about. Because if we can't get excited about it, then it's really not fun to put these events on. And I'm a fan of the fight game first, and then, you know, all the promoter stuff comes second. And so I like the matchup. It turned out, you know, I think to be a favorable matchup for everyone involved. James Dunn has been talking and looking to go from pro for the last year, and he took a fight for us 2 weeks ago at an amateur level at 145, and his opponent comes in 5 pounds over. And that played a big factor in the fight. And so he didn't come away with the win, but, you know, a testament to James and his approach to the fight game. He didn't pull out of the fight because his opponent was off. He came in ready for a title fight. And so now he is kind of going to be flipped the other way. Jason wanted to fight at somewhere between 130 and 135, and they're going to do the fight at 140. So now Jason's getting the James Dunn treatment, if you will, and he's going to have to fight up 5 pounds. So, you know, while it's a pro debut for James, he's been around the block. He's got a great camp. And we've been working together for about a year and a half now for, you know, on the MMA side of things. And he's a good kid. It's going to be a heck of a fight, man.
What do you think about, how do you think the matchup kind of goes? Is it kind of your, you know, a wrestler versus striker? You know, Fagler known for good striking coming out of, you know, the Kenpo karate background there. Or do you think these guys are going to kind of bang it out?
I totally see these two guys banging it out. Jason, funny enough, Jason, while he is a Kenpo guy, he ends up typically getting into some kind of stand-up grappling match with some guys, and he's got some judo in his back pocket, and he's got some jiu-jitsu. So you see a lot of his fights going down by submission. That's usually because the other guy thinks that that's a favorable matchup to not stand up with the striker, right? Whereas James, I think, on the other hand, is tough to take down as it is, and he's very good defensively from the submission game. So I see James standing up and trying to make it a most likely a boxing match, but maybe a little bit of kickboxing. And then I see Jason obviously trying to do what he does best, which is land those karate style strikes, press the fight like he always does while maintaining his distance, you know, almost not Wonder Boy-ish, because that's, you know, they do have two different styles of karate and in the way that they implement it in their MMA games. But it's exciting. He doesn't, you know, stay way far away where only his feet can land. Jason ends up trying to throw hands. And so I do see the fight standing. I don't know if it goes all three rounds, but I do see it standing.
Well, looking down the lineup, I notice a few names. Of course, Joel Fagler, which is the brother of Jason Fagler, as well as a co-main event, Josh Millwood taking on Anthony Babcock, and then Kevin Sunkins taking on Josh Cumbie, a man that we know very well. Which of these fights, which of these matchups stands out to you the most outside of the main event, of course?
I really like the Sunkins-Cumbie fights. Even though Sunkins has some background in wrestling. I think he's fought probably 10, 12 times for us. He always seems to just get into a stand-up war with guys. And Cumbie is going to play right into that. Josh doesn't come in and try to take guys down. He's fought for Valor. So the Tennessee fans are probably familiar with Josh, and he's fought for us, and he's got a couple knockouts under his belt with us. And I see him trying to come in and throw hands. Caven has went out and reinvented himself. Before, I would have considered him a kickboxer, and now he's transitioned his game into Muay Thai. So I do expect to see him coming out a little bit different of a striker than what we've seen the last time he was in the MMA cage. And I see Josh coming in and refining the tools that he has. I know he's been working with Robbie Collum down in Rincon, and I know he's been working with a couple of the other guys there who have fought for us in the past. And I know he wants to see his game progress. He's got that professional mind already as an amateur. So that fight really does stick out a lot. Seeing Joel Fagler fight, he grappled for us before, but he's a 16-year-old stud. And seeing him get out there and get a chance to finally compete, since he's never actually been able to do kickboxing before, the fight's just never worked out for him. It's going to be really interesting because I know he is considered like a gym monster, if you will. So it's going to be fun to see if at 16 years old, how the pressure and the lights play into him. He's a stud wrestler. So to see that kickboxing and that karate style come to play is going to be, I don't know if we're seeing like the future, you know, it's really interesting to see the guys at that level and that skill set at 16 years old.
Well, certainly a lot of rising stars like that. Anything else of note about this card and about the venue? It's at the Bell Auditorium there in downtown Augusta. That's historic Augusta. I know it's very, very beautiful down there. So anyone looking to travel a little ways and take a visit to watch some fights and visit a beautiful downtown, you know, we were just in Rome, and that was a really pretty downtown area as well. Talk about the overall layout of the auditorium and what we'll get when we're in attendance there.
Heck yeah, man. That's one thing we love about Augusta is the Bell Auditorium is centered in downtown. It's a historic building. Most of the people who are from this area have either went to an MMA event in the Bell, or they have went back a few decades and seen, you know, different huge music acts and stuff that used to come through there. And they still do come through there. But I think it was kind of a hub, you know, a few decades ago. And it seems like everybody that I know from Savannah all the way to Charleston, you know, they recognize the Bell. And so it's a great venue. We get a lot of props for the events that we put on there, just because of the layout, and the venue makes us look good. Right. So we do what we normally do. And then the venue just happens to be really, really nice and set up perfectly for MMA on the inside. So we like to think it's a good handshake between us and the venue. And then, you know, I'm excited about the fight card because, again, we have so many new faces to what we're doing on this fight card. And that's a product of having a show at the end of June, at the middle of July, and at the beginning of August. You're only going to be able to go so far with having so many locals. And so, as you mentioned, you know, Josh Millwood versus Anthony Babcock in the coming event, you know, we got a guy coming in from Michigan to fight a guy from Perry, Georgia. But that's kind of abnormal. It's just kind of the nature of the business right now, where we're going through tons of fights and fighters, and we've got other events coming up. So it's a time and a place to bring in some new, fresh faces and let this, you know, we like to establish those relationships. Just like, you know, in the main event we did in Rome, you know, Valor has been working with Luis Pena for several fights, and we've been working with Kobe Wall, and Kobe kind of has bounced around the Southeast is where he lives. And now moving up to Boston. And so, you know, for us, we don't mind bringing in a guy from who now lives in Boston and Valor bringing in a guy who lives in St. Charles, Missouri. And that's our main event in Georgia. So that's I would think that from both promotions standpoint, that's definitely an anomaly to do when everybody else seems to be very city centric to where they are.
Yeah, I would have to agree. You know, that's one of the things that we've prided ourselves on, you know, over the last year or so, and you guys have done the same thing. And really, it just introduces a different flavor. You know, it's guys that, you know, the first time you see them, maybe you're not that familiar with them, but we've had so many people, you know, come in from out of the area and make a lot of fans in our home, you know, in our home area, that, and then the next time you bring them back, they're really excited to see them again. And it keeps the matchups fresh. Like you said, you're not completely recycling the same card, you know, and just playing, you know, round robin. So yeah, I got to agree with you there. I'm definitely excited to see, yeah, any time that we're in an event like that, especially when we get to see pros or high level amateurs that are coming in from out of the area. I'm always excited to see, you know, what that region brings to the table.
Yeah. Well, Jared, you know, go ahead. I was like, you know, one of the best fights is probably going to happen on Saturday night is whenever this fighter comes and beats me up. I'm sure y'all seen that.
I'm excited for that.
I read about that. It's the gossip that always attracts me. And I immediately saw that.
So this is a guy that essentially didn't get his own shit together, and he's mad at you about it.
Absolutely, and I mean there's an interview and a half and the type of stuff that had went on behind the scenes, and it happens every now and then. I'm sure you have had the same problem or issue or whatever or treat, if you will. Of, you know, have a guy who begs to fight on your fight card, and you look and you find somebody who's a similar skill set, and you say, okay, you know what, we're going to match this guy up, we're going to take a chance. And this guy had recently moved to Augusta, and I knew that he was supposed to be training at a reputable gym over there. I had that contact with that gym, and so I felt like this is a safe bet. We've got a guy who had a little bit of grappling. There was some, you know, there was something out there that I could find some substance on. He was going to join he just moved in, so he's joining a reputable gym, and he had more than enough time to compete properly on the fight card. But the messages started getting more awkward and more awkward, and the correspondence between himself and our staff and some of the things that were being said just made me feel very uneasy. So I did what anybody would do as a following up calls. I just asked a simple question, which was, I don't see anything on your medicals yet. I would just like to understand the plan to get those medicals together. And then it went sideways. and I had to let him know. I said, hey, man, I'm still not seeing an answer, and I've asked the same question multiple times. So in light of that, I'm going to have to pull you off the fight card, because we're trying not to do a disservice to the other guy, right? To if you're opponent A and opponent B is over here cutting weight, he's already turning his medicals, he's preparing for a bout. We're trying to invest in our fighters, and we can't do marketing because we can't get pictures. You know, we're trying to move this thing along, and we can't get medicals. And so I just let him know he wasn't going to fight on the card. And at that point, that's whenever he let me know that I was I need to be looking for a non-sanctioned bout on Saturday, I guess.
Wow. You know what we do around here? When somebody no-shows, do you know what we do, Jared? We electrocute them. And we've had several sessions here where we've electrocuted fighters. Now, if you threaten a promoter, you run the risk of not only being electrocuted but also hanged, because that's like double, you know, that's a double impact there. So
it's a double death.
Yeah. So it's a little of this right here. That guy is electrocuted. R.I.P. right there.
Well, man. I'd like to chalk it up and say it was – oh, yeah, go ahead, please.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Well, I'll just say I'd love to say it was a misunderstanding, but through the countless amounts of messages, and I was like, man, I'm just really not the type of person to go back and forth with somebody like that. I don't enjoy drama. But this one was just – it became humorous because I just tried to explain nicely. I was like, this is – you know, I hate that you've had this experience. But this is, you know, this is kind of how the process goes when you don't turn in your medicals. But I did let him know kindly, if he'd like to fight me on Saturday, that I'm available, but I'm still going to have his medicals because I can't fight a guy who ain't got a blood work.
Yeah, threatening people on Facebook. Like I was saying, real quick, let everybody know where we can get the tickets, you know, where we can watch the event, of course, live on Flow Combat, but just all the scoop and of course, all the shout-outs and so forth. We're excited for a big event on Saturday night.
Sure. The tickets are available on Georgia Lena. So that's Georgia spelled out, LINA, Lena, TIX.com. And you can also call us at 843-603-1115. We still have a few VIP seats available. I think Andrew told me we're in the neighborhood of like 16 seats left available. And then the rest of the tickets are going to be on sale. I'd love to say, oh, yeah, we're going to sell all the Bell. That's unreasonable to think that. I think it holds like 4,000 people. So we know we're not going to sell out. There will be tickets at the door. But we always have a great crowd, and a lot of people come out for us in Augusta. So we're excited about that. And we hope that everybody will come out and join us. And if they can't make it, just as Casey just mentioned, check us out on Flow Combat. We're going to be live, and it's always a great feed. And I think that product that we're putting out there is something that's remarkable. It's like, it's really cool to see what Flow Combat and the production and everything is really coming together in these last few events. And I think seeing what we've seen in Rome, I think Tim can attest to it. You know, the screens that are inside the venue and the screens that are on our phones from watching it is some really, really good product compared to what else is out there right now.
No doubt.
Absolutely. And as long as we're not getting streamed somewhere, if you know what I mean, illegally or whatnot.
Absolutely.
So,
we appreciate that third party.
Yeah. It's Conflict 45. August 5th, that's this Saturday night, live from the Bell Auditorium in Augusta, Georgia. Get your VIP tickets now because those will be selling out. Jared, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
We are joined by Jason Faglier, who headlines this weekend at Conflict 45. That's August 5th, and as he takes on James Dunn, he is a 4-2 professional mixed martial arts fighter. Thank you so much for joining us, Jason.
Thanks for having me.
We're excited. Casey and I will be in town this weekend to call the action for Flow Combat for the live broadcast. So we're definitely excited to see in action. You're a guy as a matchmaker up in Tennessee. You're a guy that I've definitely heard of and have kind of been watching as you come up through your career. But for those of our audience that have not seen Jason Faglier compete, just give us a little bit of background on yourself and how you got into MMA and kind of what we can expect to see from you in the cage.
My dad was a fighter growing up. I trained with him. He got me into it really young, and he opened up his own gym back in 99. So I started training with him, and background is I started out with Kempo Karate, so I have a kind of a karate style, I guess you could say, but as MMA has evolved, I've learned all aspects of the game, and I love it. So I can't wait to get in there and compete this Saturday.
So what do you know about James Dunn? Is his style anything that you've watched and you've been able to kind of create a game plan, or is it business as usual for you? Does it matter who you're facing?
It doesn't really matter to me. And as far as James Dunn, I don't know much about him. Unfortunately, my original opponent got injured, and I had to get a replacement. And then my replacement opponent pulled out. And so then they were frantic trying to find me another replacement, and then fortunately James Dunn stepped up and took the fight, and I believe it was a less than 2 week notice when he agreed to take the fight. So I don't really know much on him. I haven't seen much video on him. I just know my dad's been watching the few videos that he could find, and he's going over with me a little last minute game plan changes. But long story short, the game plan is not really specific to one fighter. As long as the careers I've had so far, I was 13-1 as an amateur, and I've had 6 fights now as a pro, and I think I've maybe had an opponent stick in the fight maybe 5 times. Other than that, almost all of my opponents have been last minute. Me jumping in on the card that somebody fell out, or my original opponent pulled out and they're finding me somebody new. So I really just try to stay prepared for any and all opponents.
Well, there's some guys that are kind of like that. Again, as a matchmaker, I have, you know, a handful of guys that it doesn't matter who you put them with to begin with, that there's just by hook or by crook, something changes. You know, you just cannot hold an opponent for them. And so I feel for you there. But at the same time, it sounds like it's made you kind of ready for anything, ready to adapt. And ultimately now as a pro, that's going to reap a lot of rewards for you. Talk about fighting in Augusta, you know, at home here. I know that you fought for Conflict before. Are you excited to fight at home? Is it more pressure to fight at home because you've got more friends and family there to perform in front of, or is that something that you kind of, you know, drive, it kind of drives you?
Yeah, I'd say it more drives me than anything. Growing up in the amateur ranks of it, I was never the hometown guy. I always went to wherever my opponent's hometown was. I was that guy that they would bring in, you know. Like I said, I jumped in on short notice fights all the time. So I've never had a hometown fight until my second pro fight. And that was the first time I got to fight in my hometown. And, man, it's completely different. It's electrifying. And you walk out there and you know that, you know, 70% of the crowd out there is probably there to support you. You know, it's something totally crazy. It's, you know, I walked out the first time and I could feel the whole vibration from the arena. You know, it's something totally different, and it definitely drives me. I enjoy fighting in hometown crowd more than anywhere now.
Well, speaking of your hometown, of course, that's Augusta, Georgia. This thing's going to be taking place at the Bell Auditorium, and that's has a very storied past. We spoke with Jared Williams earlier, and he kind of mentioned it. Tim and I, we're going to be there, and of course, we are foodies. Also, we like good beer, good you know, drinks. You know, the flavor of each town that we visit, and Augusta, it'll actually be the first time I've actually spent much time there. So can you tell us, some outsiders coming in, where we should, some of the spots that we should visit, where we should get something to eat, you know, as a hometown guy, you know, give your take on your hometown.
Well, I'll tell you, the venue, the Bell Auditorium, is already in downtown Augusta. And the downtown part of Augusta has a lot of nice little places to eat. Especially Broad Street is the main street in downtown, and it's got a ton of nice little spots that range from spots where you need to be dressed up to go in there and sit down and eat, and there's spots where you can just go back and be laid back, and it's kind of a bar atmosphere. I tell you, we got a spot on Broad Street called The Pub, and it's a little bar, and they have an amazing hamburger. So if you're wanting to get you a good cheeseburger, I'd recommend there. And there's another spot that's a little bit nicer of a spot to go, and it's called the Whiskey Bar. And I know a ton of people that love that place as well, and it's really good.
Well, I know somebody who loves whiskey. You know,
I love whiskey.
Yeah, right.
We appreciate the heads up on that, man. We will take your advice and make sure we hit those spots up.
Yeah, they got a disc called the kitchen sink at a Whiskey Bar. And throw the kitchen sink at you.
Oh, very cool. Real quick, Jason, give all of your shout outs, you know, all the love you got to share for your teammates, your training partners, your coaches, family, everyone that supports you, as well as give us your social media plugs, places we can find you, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and so forth.
Well, if I gave you all them shout outs, you'd be here all night. There's no way I could thank everyone that deserves a thanks. But, off the top of my head, I definitely got to thank my coaches. My dad has always been in my corner from day one, teaching me everything I know. And, of course, my mom's always there supporting me as well. So I got to thank them, too. And my strength and conditioning coach, Demetrius Jones. You know, I cross-train with the other gyms in Augusta, you know, Dement Brothers and Southside Martial Arts, and any gyms in Augusta we cross train with, I gotta thank all them, and all my partners that are on this card with me tonight, or Saturday night. I got my little brother Joel, you know, He's fighting first time. We got another kid named Dalton. He's fighting first time. And Malcolm and my girlfriend, Amberly, she's even fighting. And they're all with me for all my training, not just in the gym, but my Saturday morning trainings, you know, where I'm downtown, and my Friday trainings where I'm in the aquatic center swimming, you know, 2,000 meters or whatever. You know, they're there by my side pushing just as hard. So I guess I got to thank them. And, man, all my friends and family that are buying tickets to come support. You know, I can't thank everybody enough. But first and foremost, you know, I got to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Without him, none of this would be possible for me.
It's Jason Fagler, who headlines Conflict 45 this Saturday night. That's August 5th at the Bell Auditorium. Everybody, get your tickets now. And if you're not within driving distance, get it on flowcombat.com. Jason, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you for having me. Y'all don't miss it.
We are joined by Ben Sargent, 7-0 professional mixed martial artist fighting out of Nashville, MMA. He headlines Bellator August 19th as he faces off against Brandon Bell in a Kentucky Dream match. Ben, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, Ben, you know, the last time we had you, we were talking about the Border Wars show up in Kentucky back in May. You fought Steve Bell. You're going after all these bells. You beat him in the first round. It was a pretty long layoff there you had. You know, how did it feel getting back under the lights there? You know, getting out there and kind of shaking that rust off.
Well, I guess I'm on a roll for ringing bells.
Yeah.
I felt good, man. It was weird because my mindset, my psychologically, I was there completely. It felt great to be in a cage again. You know, I could cool my nerves, cool my calm a whole lot better than years past. But you know, I felt great in the Border Wars and Valor fights, and now I'm really, really going to put that that mindset to play in this fight, and definitely perform what no one has seen of Ben Sargent yet.
Well, you know, so, Ben, in your last fight, over Steve Bell, you know, it ended up on the ground. You ended up getting the submission off of your back. And that same night, Brandon Bell, he, of course, fought against Jason King. He got the decision victory over Jason. He was on top for a period of time. So, you know, that's kind of interesting to see those correspond. You got to get a bird's eye view of Brandon Bell that night. So talk about your insight into this fight, how you're preparing for it, what you expect him to do. Or do you expect him to, you know, come in quick, try look for the takedown and try to keep that heavy pressure? And if so, how do you plan to deal with that?
I think this show, honestly, I've been practicing him rushing me. It's no different than my, if you look at my first professional fight, I said it was going to be a beautiful car accident. He was just going to rush into me, it's up to me. This fight, it's up to me to make it a beautiful fight, make it an interesting fight, make it a fight the fans want to see. So, with that being said, he dominates the top ground, top game on the ground. I feel very, very comfortable on my back. I think that I can control people a whole lot better than, Jason King did. And, you know, if I am on my back in this fight, you will see that. And, you know, people only see me as, you know, maybe get lucky on the ground. I don't know what. I think people more see me as a stand-up guy. But I feel even more comfortable on my back in a fight. With that being said, I know how Brandon Bell is, and I think that, I mean, he's working hard, training with stand-up guys. I think he's going to get a feel for me, see how I feel, and naturally instinct's going to take over, and he's going to go for a takedown. But, you know, either way, I'm training for whichever Brandon Bell wants to do.
Well, this is a fight that, you know, people in our region in Tennessee, I think they're familiar with both guys, but the people in Kentucky, I feel like this is a fight that, you know, it's been a long time in the making. You guys have both been around the scene for years and years. Certainly very familiar with each other. You know, you know Brandon well. He knows you. It's a fight, you know, we were talking about doing in Valor, even to headline. When we had the opportunity to put it on a big stage like Bellator, we knew that this would be a fight that would deliver in the main event. You know, talk a little bit about any history you have with Brandon. I know you guys are cool. I don't think there's any ill will, but it's still a fight that you know, both of you guys have wanted and have talked about for years.
Yeah, absolutely. I've talked a little shit about him in my interviews, you know, to spice it up, have fun with it. But I have nothing but respect for the guy. We were actually supposed to fight on a couple occasions. Some things went wrong, you know, didn't go as planned. And, we kind of talked about it on Facebook inbox and kind of laughed that we waited so long that now we're in a big show and, you know, we get to fight each other in a big show. And I think it's a beautiful fight. I think it's, I do not think people look at his record and, you know, kind of like frown upon, you know, Ben has a perfect record and, you know, Brandon has a rough record, but yet, he's fought some amazing guys, and he's on a 3-fight win streak right now. And he's training with serious guys. He has 2 arms, 2 legs, just like me. And he has a game plan just like me. So, you know, it's going to be one hell of a fight. And I'm not underestimating him at all. I know he brings a lot of strength to the table with his style. He doesn't get tired. But may I do the impossible? I'm talking him up pretty big right now, but the impossible, August 19th, it's going to be interesting. And for everybody in Kentucky, it's going to be a awesome, awesome fight for them to, get ready for and to come out and check out. And
it's free.
Everybody's showing up. Yeah. Everybody that shows up that this show, they have a huge fight going on. And on top of mine, I will never, ever disappoint.
Well, let's talk about this a little bit. Of course, during your last fight, you were, of course, representing American Killer Bees. Since then, you have changed camps. You officially represent Nashville MMA. Talk about a little bit about that change and a little bit about, you know, how you've switched things up, how your training has been altered and so forth. And, of course, the landscape is obviously different there in Nashville, Tennessee.
Absolutely. It's, like you said, the landscape is a whole lot different. When I want to get my mind off things, it's easier to, you know, go do something, you know, go out in nature, go out, you know, hit up a organic all-vegan restaurant or whatever to stay healthy, but still go out. As far as the American Killer Bees, I love David Robbins. He's like a brother to me. I really thought I was done with fighting, and the bug hit me. It bit me hard, and I randomly took that fight with Steve Bell in Valor 5 Quarter Wars, and it hit me, and I kind of got this offer. This was in the talking, and, you know, that or a fight in September, or, you know, a big fight in September or whatnot. I knew and I realized that I couldn't be a coach and still be a student. And I also realized that I'm not a coach. You know, I'm way too hard on myself. And I'm way too hard on students. So, you know, I had to switch it up. And I really respect the guys here at Nashville MMA. The coaches are amazing. I fit in just well with all the training, the guys I train with. It's a beautiful thing, and it's really somewhere where I really see myself staying for a long time.
And you can get away with wearing those snakeskin boots so much more there.
Well, wherever I am, I look sexy as hell in snakeskin.
Oh, there's no doubt. There's no doubt. I'm just saying, like, you can walk down Broadway so much and just really be rocking those. So that's gotta be nice too.
Well, if I did that, Tim, I would probably get a music contract, even though I can't even sing.
Very cool. Ben, real quick, go ahead and give a little bit of your shout outs and so forth. And of course, any closing comments, of course. And then on top
Ben
of that,
CM Punk, give that CM Punk call out here, Ben.
Yes.
Well, I'll say the best for last. I'd like to thank my management team, Iridium, Jason House, and Ed Cap. Ed Cap is, man, I tell you, he's helped me so much. He's almost
a sweetheart.
Like a damn parent now. Yeah, he's my parent now. he's amazing, and I'd like to thank my number one training partner. He's actually fighting the same night in a different promotion, which kind of sucks. But Tyler Dempsey, he's really worked with me really a lot with this fight. We're training together for it. And I'd like to thank my coaches here, Lance Patrick, Chris Beasley, everybody. There's so many people at the gym that I could thank. Also would like to thank my mom for you know, being there for me. She's actually, I've had to limit my work schedule, so I can't really work that much. And she's actually been taking care of me, helping me out. She's paid for all my medicals and everything. So, you know, I don't have any sponsors yet, but she's, you know, you can't deny your mama. She always takes care of you.
So does that mean she gets the big real estate on your ass? You just put mom.
I'm actually, you gave it away, Tim.
Oh, I'm sorry. Shit.
No, you're good, man. I'd like to give a special thanks to Tim Loy. Tim, you're a man of your word. I gotta say, from the bottom of my heart, I really appreciate everything you've done. You've really connected all the wires together and really made this dream come true. And I really appreciate it, man. But other than that, CM Punk, you're 0-1. Now, for a local fight, I would only get 300 and 300 for that. So, I mean, that would be a pretty easy bargain to do. I mean, I would ask a little bit more, but take the fight with me. I'm going to toy with you. First round, I'll let you learn what it feels like to actually get a punch off in a fight. I'll treat you like your pops. You know, we can go around. I'll rough you up a little bit. I'll finish you when I think it's time to go on and finish you. I'm fighting for Bellator August 19th. But UFC's listening to me. I'm all for the freak shows. Put me in the freak show. He's a freak show. It's a freak show. You know, it's a circus. Put me in a circus. You know.
So, very cool. Ben Sergeant Headlines, the Bellator, the Monster Energy Drink Series Bellator, August 19th at the Bristol Motor Speedways. He faces Brandon Bell. There's no tickets to get. Get out there and watch it live. Travel to Bristol. It's a great weekend. Ben, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much. And Monster Energy Drinks, if you're listening, sponsor me. Six-figure contract. You will not be disappointed. Sponsor Ben Sargent. Yes.
We are joined by Stone Beverly, 3-1 amateur mixed martial arts fighter out of the Viper Pit in Hazard, Kentucky. And we get ready to watch him in 2 weeks at VFW Fights. Thank you so much, Stone, for joining us tonight.
You're welcome, guys. It's always a pleasure to be on the show.
Well, Stone, you know, you've been staying busy. You know, I know that it was a long-awaited thing for you to finally get your MMA debut, and then you had to wait even longer with some last-second things. But, you know, once you got, you know, kind of got hit the ground running, you've been rowing pretty strong. You've already had 4 fights already this year, and getting ready for a 5th one next week. You'll be taking on Matthew Dotson in Bristol. And, you know, talk a little bit about this matchup here. This is, if I'm not mistaken, he's probably the most experienced guy that you faced yet.
Yeah, I've seen some of his videos. He's a pretty tough guy. He's been fighting for a while, and, you know, he's an older guy. I think he's a kickboxer or something like that. But, you know, I stay ready to fight, and that's why, you know, you guys know who to come to whenever you need some guys, when you need a guy to take a fight on short notice.
Yeah, no doubt, man. Stone has stepped up on short notice here several times here lately. I would venture to say half or more of his fights have been on short notice, kind of at the last minute kind of deal. But you know, when you stay ready to compete like Stone does, it's not a huge deal. I know ideally you'd like to fight at 135. You're going to do 145 here with short notice. But you know, you're in shape, you're training, and that kind of jumping back and forth between 35 and 45 doesn't seem to affect you too much.
No, it doesn't bother me at all. It doesn't bother me all that much. I have a 135 title fight coming in September and stuff like that. But I always stay ready at the gym, always working with bigger guys, so it doesn't bother me to come up and you know, and wait. You know, my last fight I fought it at actually 150, and the day I took the fight that I actually accepted, I was weighing 145 pounds. So I fought that fight at a catch weight of 150, but it doesn't really bother me because I'm always working with the guys bigger than me anyways.
Well, talk about this. The big news, and we've been talking about it all night, Bellator MMA, it's coming to Bristol Motor Speedway, the Monster Energy Series. And your brother, Ken, is one of the marquee bouts there. There are only 4, and he's one of those. How excited are you for that?
Oh, man, it gives me chills, man, thinking about it. I mean, it's kind of like a dream come true, you know, but that's, you know, our goal wasn't just to make it there. Our goal is to be the best, so we're not exactly at our goal yet, so we're only getting started when we, you know, with this kind of stuff.
Well, very cool. One other thing I wanted to kind of throw out there, if you are following social media and so forth, I'm very, very excited for this. You know, of course, I was talking to your coach, Donald, and you guys will be we're going to be kind of joining forces here as an affiliate starting, you know, now, and just very, very excited for it. I know that you're not going to be able to get in on it on the 12th of August, but we're going to have a little get together and have some training at the gym while you're here. You guys will be here in Bristol for 2 weeks, and that's right down the road from us. We're actually on the Bristol Highway, so I'm very excited about that. And you know, it's just excited to get some work with you guys.
Oh man, you know, we was talking about that, and I was really excited. We was looking for somebody to go up under, and you know, you were the first person that came to mind. I was like, what about Casey? And I was like, everybody just thought it was a good idea. You know, we all get along really well, and we just thought it was a really good idea since we, you know, we're fighting for Valor a lot here lately, and we've been coming to Tennessee a lot. So, you know, we just thought it was all a good idea, and all the guys seemed to like you, and I mean, you know, we all just have a good time together. So, you know, and we like to thank you all for that and stuff, but you know, I'll be around and stuff like that, and can't wait to get some training in with you and your guys.
Absolutely, yeah, it's going to be great. It's a lot of fun, and like you said, everybody's real laid back, and that's kind of how we roll too. So, yeah, looking forward to it. Real quick, man, go ahead and give some shout outs. Talk about, you know, what you got going on as far as, you know, your sponsors, and, also again, always on your social media, man, you've jumped up there, had 4 mixed martial arts fights this year, I guess, after making your debut. You know, get the word out there so everybody can follow you.
First of all, you know, like every single time, guys, you know me, I love to thank God. You know, God, without God, you know, none of what I've been able to do would even be possible. So like thank God, and I'd like to thank my family and friends and stuff like that for all the support, and my team, all the guys at the gym, you know, for helping me prepare for all these fights and helping me stay ready 24/7. And for my sponsors and stuff, I like to thank Dr. Zach Said for he's always been there for us. He comes to every one of our fights. He's a doctor out of New Jersey, and you know, he's a really great guy. He comes to every one of our fights. Like my last fight, it was you know, I took it on 4 days and short notice, and he flew from New Jersey because he wasn't going to be able to drive down. So he flew from New Jersey to Louisville to come watch me fight, and you know, spent that night in Louisville and went back the next day. But he's always coming down and watching us fight and supports us all the time. And I also like to thank Tim Short for another sponsor, Tim Short Chrysler and Hazard. They're always asking if we need anything. They're always sponsoring us and stuff like that. And George Meeks, those guys are they've always been there for us and stuff like that. And I'd also like to thank Tim and stuff like that for the chance, you know, to fight on these cards and stuff like that. And just let me know if you need any more short notice. If you need any fights on short notice taken and stuff like that, if y'all need any help with anything like that, just let me know. You know, I stay ready 24/7.
Stone Beverly, the 3-1 amateur mixed martial arts fighter, returns to action at VFW Fights Under Siege in next week, August 12th. Get your tickets now and watch live on flowcombat.com. Stone, thank you so much for joining us.
Guys, it's always a pleasure to be on the show.
That does it for a great lineup of guests and another episode of the Valor Hour. Join us next week for the official preview episode for VFW Fights Under Siege. And we continue as we keep rolling away at another big week of combat sports action. Please remember to share this broadcast and subscribe at Apple Podcasts and Stitcher. We appreciate all the likes, but we need your shares and subscriptions. For myself and Valor Fights President Tim Loy, thanks so much for listening. And join us next week for another episode of the Valor Hour.
For more information on upcoming events, visit ValorFights.com or find them at Valor Fights on both Facebook and Twitter. This has been the Valor Hour, powered by the law offices of Ogle, Elrod, and Beryl on Radio Influence. This is a Sitting Ringside with David Penzer, Quick Fix, on Radio Influence.
Ladies and gentlemen, the legendary Taskmaster Booker Man, Devil himself, Kevin Sullivan, welcome to Sitting Ringside. Vince Russo and Ed Ferrara are being brought up. Refresh my memory, were you still the Booker when they were hired to be the head writers?
No, I was told, I got a phone call by J.J. Dillon. I'll never forget. Bill Bush had become boss. J.J. called me.
Just to give the fans a background who may not know, he was an accountant with the company. Great guy, great money guy, and the nicest guy in the world, but not exactly. Yeah. And he would self-admit, even back then, that he wasn't the guy to run a company, but he was basically put in charge to get the finances under control, correct?
Right. And he was a wonderful human being.
Nicest guy in the world.
JJ calls me and said, listen, can I talk to you about something? I said, yeah. He said, listen, Ferrara and Russo became available and we hired them. I said, fine. That's great. Great. I said, but what does that mean for me? He said, we're going to still pay you and we're going to extend your contract. I said, that's fine. Let him do it. And after about 2 weeks, JJ said to me, would you mind coming to these meetings?
So you had a 2-week reprieve. That's not even enough to not even enough to sleep the amount of hours you probably needed to sleep to catch up.
Yeah, he said, would you mind coming? I said, JJ, I just want to do a little fishing down the Keys. I said, isn't that important? He said, Yeah, I want you to come. And JJ, you know, he was my direct boss. I said, okay, I'll come. And he said, I said, what do you want? And he said, I just want you to watch the show. I said, do you want to go to the production meeting? He said, yeah, it'll look funny if you don't. So I go to the production meeting. And then I go and watch the show. And I go and see him the next day at TBS. And he said, what do you think? I said, this is a pilot for a series called Rope Opera. This can't be wrestling. And I said, do you remember the Italian group of guys that threw meatballs on Booker T and Stevie Ray?
Actually,
I said,
no.
You're going to get an Italian defamation league.
Oh, yes.
And I think they think I called. They called. You couldn't do that kind of stuff. And the thing about burying Rick in the desert, how Freudian is that? Bury him alive, right?
Right.
I mean, it was so badly done. And, you know, one of the things I've read about history, it was about when Hitler was taking over, Goebbels could have stopped them, but he let it go. And sometimes not making any action is worse. Because I had this thing with my partner, him, and he said, well, Ed, it could have been worse if Ed didn't keep him in check. And I said, how could it be worse? Viagra on a pole match? Think about that. Viagra on a pole match. And then he said this thing about Ginger. Well, they're not pushing him as a champion the way they should be. This guy changed the belt 4 times in 2 hours, made an actor the world heavyweight champion, and made himself the world heavyweight champion.
I will say, in defense of David Arquette, he did buy the entire bar that night. So I give him. I thought that was very classy, and I appreciated that move.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what else is classy about him. Do you know that they paid him quite a bit. You know that, right?
Yeah, and he gave it all to charity, if I remember correctly.
He gave it to Brian Pillman's family.
Oh, I did. I knew it was a charity. I didn't realize that.
Sitting Ringside with David Penzer can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and RadioInfluence.com.